Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. Chargers are coming to town for the Titans home opener on Sunday. And joining us now to break it all down is Ryan Dyrud. He's the founder of the LA Football Network and the host of Believe in LA Football. Ryan, appreciate you for joining us. Happy to have you on the show. Just from your perspective, what is kind of the vibe, the feeling of the Chargers coming into this game against the Titans?
Yeah, well, first of all, guys, thanks so much for having me. Excited to be talking ball with you on this great Friday. But, you know, it's kind of weird. There was so much excitement, especially after that tough, brutal playoff loss against Jacksonville last year and how that ended. And you kind of get this sentiment that, okay, they're going to turn this page. They had a good offseason. They were able to re-sign some key players. They had a pretty good draft from all things considered and kind of turning the page. And then it was kind of the same old song and dance, at least defensively, in terms of just not able to being able to slow down Miami whatsoever. Offensively, there was obviously a lot of good things they did with the new Kellen Moore offense. The running game got going great, which was a problem last year. So they didn't really uncork Justin Herbert much, but they didn't really have to just because they were moving the ball so well on the ground. So a lot of emotions around this team here in LA. But to answer your question, it's definitely uneasiness after week one. But what I keep saying is, you know, Miami might be one of the best offenses in football. So you kind of got to take it with a grain of salt and then, you know, stack these games as you move forward. So a lot of uneasiness out here in LA.
Now, Ryan Dyrud of the LA Football Network joins us now. Ryan, what's the status, the latest on Austin Ekeler, and what does he bring to this offense, and what does this offense look like without him, if the Chargers will be without him on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, it's still, he didn't practice again yesterday, so at this point, definitely questionable for Sunday. You know, I think if I were to put money on it, I think he does end up suiting up and playing. They're just holding that as a precaution, but I mean, he's a huge part of this offense. Anyone that knows Kellen Moore, he loves that two-back system and kind of, you know, in his time in Dallas, showed it off with Tony Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott, who had two different skill sets, and they have that here in L.A. now with Ezekiel Elliott and Joshua Kelly, who kind of emerged as a true RB2 last week. So, you know, without him, it'll be Joshua Kelly getting the lion's share, and Isaiah Spiller, the second-year guy at the Texas A&M, will kind of take the more ground and pound, if you will, back. But, I mean, Austin Ekeler, what he's able to do through the air, the speed he has in space, what he's able to do in between the tackles with his size, it would be a huge loss, especially going against a very formidable, you know, as you guys know, Titans kind of front seven. So big loss. I think he'll go, but in terms of his status, he didn't practice again on Thursday. So we'll see what happens today.
We'll talk with Ryan Dyrud. We're discussing the LA Chargers and Tennessee Titans, breaking them down. Now, Ryan, what is different about this offense? Because these are pretty much the same individuals, with the exception of their first round pick out of TCU, Quentin Johnston. But This has always been an offense where, from the outside looking in, you thought this could be an explosive offense. And at times it has been, but then at times it hasn't. So what's going to be different under the new offensive coordinator?
Yeah, you know, Joe Lombardi being here the first 2 years, I think calls an offense that just didn't necessarily fit the personnel. You know, I come from that Sean Payton tree, being back in Denver now with Sean Payton. And it was more of a, I hate using the word dink and dunk, but it was a much more methodical process of moving down the field and a lot of like flag routes and drag routes and stuff like that. And when you have a quarterback like Justin Herbert, you kind of want to just uncork it and, you know, almost throw the playbook out the window. Now with Kellen Moore, he's obviously going to be very committed to the run, which might seem counterproductive, but it just allows you to open things up for that, you know, that explosiveness through the air. And like I said, last week, they didn't need to use it because they rushed for over 200 yards on the ground. And you know, Austin Ekeler had some great runs and they were able to hit some short stuff that broke open. But it allows them to get more space, get creative with it. And as they kind of move the ball with the running game, it'll allow stuff for play action. So I think we'll just see a lot more diversity in what they do. Whereas last year it was, you know, you kind of knew what was coming on every play, it felt like, and that was so frustrating for Chargers fans. And, you know, I just think Justin Herbert just didn't fit that system, whereas this will be a lot more to his skill set and to this team's skill set in general.
Now, when you look at this defense, I mean, everything is predicated around Bosa getting to the quarterback. You got Khalil Mack there as well on that all D-line. But from a secondary standpoint, I know the Dolphins are a different team, so we can't look at the Chargers and say, well, that secondary is bad, because look at what they gave up against Miami. Now, a lot of teams are going to give up a lot of yards against the Dolphins. They are just explosive, and watching that film was just like, wow. But what is it about this defense that is going to be able to help what the offense does? Because it just seems like one person in particular, J.C. Jackson, who they paid a lot of money, they still have questions about him now.
Yeah, I mean, to your point about Miami, I watched the film back, and some of the stuff Mike McDaniel was drawing up, but they're going to be open against anyone. So they were the scheme was looking great for them, and Dolphins fans should be very happy about that offense. But, no, you know, it starts on the front. You mentioned Bosa and Mack. They didn't get any pressure on Tua Tagovailoa, and, you know, they had their starting tackle out, and they still weren't able to predicate any pressures on him, really. So that's the big thing, is they got to start getting home on the defensive line. And then in the secondary, it's, you know, they have all the pieces. They have some great talent there with Derwin James. They're really excited about Jossier Taylor, a second-year guy, and Asante Samuel Jr. in his third year. Mike Davis, who's now been there for a few years. They have a lot of talent. It's just putting it all together and kind of staying home as a unit. Now, J.C. Jackson, I think it's a miracle. He was even on the field for week one. So I'm throwing that out, and I'm not, you know, raising the white flag on him yet. He still needs to get his, you know, feet wet back in the system and back just, you know, playing at full speed after the brutal injury he had last year. But, you know, it's a unit that has to be very versatile. Brandon Staley, I always say, he doesn't have corners and safeties. He has DBs. They kind of play all over the field, and they have to work in unison. And, you know, there was some confusion last week, and credit that to Mike McDaniel and his scheme and what Tua and Tyreek and Jalen Waddle were able to do. But I think this unit's going to be a good unit. We just need to see it kind of start building up over weeks. But it starts, honestly, with that pass rush, and they just weren't able to get any pressure last week.
Well, and along those lines, Ryan, what do you know about Bosa? Because I know he's missed a couple of practices here. How optimistic are you?
Yeah, he should be good. Yeah, he's a little banged up as well, which he was. I mean, he feels like he's been like that over the last kind of 2 years. So staying healthy has definitely, unfortunately, been an issue for him. But yeah, I think he should be good. You know, if not, or if he's limited, Chris Rump will get a good share. And obviously, their Tui Polotu, they drafted out of SC, who had a great game as his first rookie's playing time, will get some reps as well. But I think Bosa will go. Whether he plays 100% of the snaps, we'll see. But it's definitely a concern, because he's the guy that they missed dearly last year, and you brought in Mac to have this kind of two-headed monster, and they've played all of like two games together. So it's definitely something they want to get rolling and get them going, because that's going to be a huge part of the success of this team.
I want to ask you about how the fan base is evolving in your market, because the market, you know, you hear people who even cover the league now that say they grew up in L.A. with no team, right, for a whole generation, basically. Now you go from zero to two. You got this brand-new, unbelievable stadium now. So this Chargers fan base specifically, how has it evolved coming up from San Diego?
Yeah, it's such a fun, poignant question that, you know, living here in LA and seeing it, you know, I think it's growing great. Anyone that lived here, anyone that covers the team locally knows it was going to take, you know, 10 years to really get some traction. When you have no teams for 21 years, all those fans, you know, migrate to other teams. Specifically, you know, the Niners have a huge fan base here. The Raiders have a big fan base here. And so when these teams come back or they move here for the first time, it's, you know, it's going to take those kids growing up with these teams that are now going to, you know, in 10, 15 years, they're the ones buying the tickets and whatnot. So it is growing. I think there's a lot of excitement. When you have a quarterback like Justin Herbert, it's hard not to be excited about this team. I think to your point about San Diego, there was a lot of pain when they left, and now with it being year seven, I believe that's starting to kind of mend a little bit, and a lot of those San Diego fans that said they would never be a fan again are kind of coming back and making that hour 20 minute drive up to SoFi, since it's not really that far. So it's a growing fan base, it's a fun fan base, it's a loyal fan base, and I think it's definitely heading in the right direction.
So how do you feel the pressure? Like, you hear this a lot league-wide. You've got an unbelievably talented quarterback in Herbert. He's about to go into that second contract where he's going to take a bigger piece of the pie. And you hear a lot about pressure for this year to win before that contract kicks in. But when you have a fan base sort of growing the way it is, what is that like from your perspective?
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure. I mean, I'm sure head coach Brandon Staley feels it the most out of anyone. But you know, it's on the whole team. It's on the organization to kind of keep what they're doing. They do a really good job in community events. And obviously, I'm sure you guys know they have one of the best social teams in the business, which I think is a big factor of why this fan base is growing too, just in that realm. But you also got to look at Justin Herbert, who I would say most people would say is a top five quarterback in this league, has all the tools and talent in the world. And he himself has no excuses now. Like for the last 2 years, the scapegoat was kind of Joe Lombardi and the offensive scheme did not fitting him, but now he has all the tools, he has all the toys to play with, he has an offensive coordinator, and so he's got to go out and win. And, you know, even last week, not to be overcritical, but if you look at the reason they lost that game was the defense giving up over 500 yards. But when it's all said and done, there's a minute and a half left in the game. Justin Herbert had the ball with two timeouts and only needed 3 points to go win and wasn't able to get a first down. So it's kind of like you're the star quarterback with this big contract, now the second highest paid quarterback with Burrow's contract. So there's a lot of pressure on him too to go and prove that he's not only worth that contract, but worth the praise of, you know, a top five QB in this league. And when those big moments arise, he's got to go and show out. So pressure's big. The fans are all in. You know, you can't say a bad word about Justin Herbert in LA because the fans love him so much, which is great. But he's got to go and show out as well.
But what a great position for this Chargers franchise to be in, that you have that franchise likable quarterback. But yeah, to your point, it's got to show up in the win column. It's got to show up in the postseason. Ryan Dyrud is with us. He is the founder of the LA Football Network. Ryan, I'm curious, what has the conversation been like about Ryan Tannehill in your circles this week?
Well, I think there's no disrespect, but there's a less fear than there was last week going against Tua Tagovailoa, seeing the three interception game and the way the offense moves the ball. So, you know, obviously a guy that's been around the league, he can still do stuff with his legs, but when you look at it from a defensive standpoint, I think there's definitely more comfort level that the Chargers defense will look a little better this week than they did in week one. But, you know, they've still have some great playmakers and can do stuff on the ground. I know it was a little tough sledding last week against the Saints, but, you know, the Chargers definitely won't take lightly what they, you know, guys like Derrick Henry and, you know, I love Tajay Spears, who you guys got in the draft. So, but yeah, I think Tannehill is he's a vet. There's a respect there, but it's definitely not a fear factor anymore, if I can say that.
Hey, it's no disrespect. It's okay. It's all right. It happened. It was bad. It was ugly. Last one from me, Ryan. Do Chargers fans expect to win this game?
I would say yes. I mean, if they go 0-2 to start the year, it's going to be a real, real dark days here in LA. Even with our September gloom going on with the clouds, it'll be even darker than that if the Chargers start 0-2 with all the hype. So I would almost put this as a must win just to get things back on track.
Ryan, appreciate you for joining us. Ryan Dyrud, he's the founder of the LA Football Network. And you can find more of his work on the Believe in LA Football podcast. Ryan, appreciate you. Enjoy football this weekend, and we'll be sure to chat with you soon.
Hey, y'all. Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it. And have a fun weekend.
All right. Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it. All right. Coming up next, we will react to what Ryan had to say there. Plus, let's do a little comparison. Who's got the advantage here? Coach, quarterback, offensive line, skill positions. We'll do that on the other side. Also, D-Mace, ask D-Mace in 15 minutes. So get those questions in for D-Mace. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.